Today's daf is Mi'ila Daf Yud. We are holding a daf Tesam and Beis. We're at the bottom of the page on Tesam and Beis. We were about to ask on this Braisa that we quoted yesterday. We had a Tanya Kavase de Rav. We had a Tanya Kavase de Levi and a Tanya Kavase de Rav because there was a machlokas between Rav and Levi. If a person is Nenda from Basar Kache Kachim before Zrikas Dam or Emuri Kachim Kalim La'achas Zrikas Dam, meaning a person violated Mi'ila, so what happens to the money? So Rav says, I mean, you have to pay it back. So what do you do with that money? Rav says, goes l'nedava. Levi said, that which is kula, that you should bring something that's kula l'mizbeach, namely ketores. So in supporting Rav, that it goes l'nedava, we quoted a long brisa, and the Gemara is going to point out that this brisa seems to be sosir itself, mi'resha l'seifa. The first part of the brisa and the last part of the brisa seem to contradict each other. Why? Because the Braisa had said, Hagufa Kasha. Now the Gemara is asking on the Braisa, Hagufa Kasha. The Braisa itself is a stira, 5 lines from the bottom. Ad shalo karva chataso, Yosef yavi chataso. The Braisa at the beginning had said that if a person gets hana'a, if a person gets hana'a from the money of a karban chatas, and he has not yet brought his karban chatas, so he used the money that he's going to pay back to actually pay for the karban chatas, but misha karva chatas, so if he's already brought his karban chatas, so then you're not going to use the money to pay for a karban chatas, you already brought your chatas, so what do you do with the money? Yelch liyam ha-melech, throw the money in the yam ha-melech. Remember, that's what we said yesterday, that's one of the rayas that the achronim bring, that when you pay back a mi'ila payment, it's not just tashlama, it's not just paying back for something that you stole, rather it's a din kapara, because if it was just Hashem HaSagzela, what's the kunz in throwing it to the Yam HaMelech? You're not accomplishing anything. So it must be that it's a din kapara. But either way, that's what the Reisha said, that if it's prior to the bringing of your own chatas, use the money for your chatas. If it's after you already brought your own chatas, so throw it to the Yam HaMelech. V'katani kol karbanos ha-mizbeach l'mizbeach. But then in the Seifa it says that all karbanos ha-mizbeach, if you get enough from the money of any of the karbanos ha-mizbeach, use the money la-mizbeach. Sounds like lo shana dichbar bayon lo shana echad lo ichbar, that it makes no difference whether you got your kapara yet or you didn't get your kapara yet. Sounds like even after you bring your chatos, you don't just throw it to the Yam HaMelech. You use it la-mizbeach dafka. You make sure that this money gets used for something that's brought on the mizbeach. So it's a stira between the reisha and the seif of the brisa. Answers the Gemara, reisha Rabbi Shimonhi, damar kol chatos. The Rishas assuming like Rabbi Shimon who holds that when you have a chatos where the Bailam already got his kapara with a different animal and now you have this animal that was designated as a chatos but you have nothing for which to bring a carbon chatos anymore, Rabbi Shimon holds tamus, let the animal die. So our case is the equivalent of that with money. Instead of having an animal where that was designated for a chatos, when you've already gotten your kapara with another animal as a chatos, you now have money that's designated for chatas, where you've already gotten kapara with another animal for a karban chatas. So what do you do with this extra money that's designated as a chatas when there's no longer a chiyuv chatas? So you will do the equivalent of tamus, the equivalent of letting it die. How do you let money die? You throw it, liyam ha-melech. That's how you let money die. So the ratio, when it says that you take this money and you throw it liyam ha-melech, that's assuming, like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, who holds that a chatos shekibru ba'aleha is tamus, that a chatos whose owners have already gotten a kapara is left to die. This is the monetary equivalent of being left to die. And the seif is assuming not that way. The seif is assuming that it then is not that it's tamus. So says the Gemara, ratio Rabbi Shimon v'seif Rabbanan, what do you mean to tell me that in a single brisa, the ratio is going like Rabbi Shimon that says the Reisha that says Yelchu Dam Liyam HaMelech is going like Rabbi Shimon that Chatos Shemesa Baleh Tamus and the Seifa that says that all Karbanos HaMizbeach L'Mizbeach that you get Hana, you violate Mi'ila on any Karbanos HaMizbeach and the payment goes L'Mizbeach even after you already brought your Chatos, you already got your Kapara, that's going like the Rabbanon that it would not be amongst the Chatos HaMesos, that Chatos Shekipur Baleh is not one of the Chatos HaMesos. Why in the Braisa would you have a two different authors without it being noted in the Braisa? So Reish Rabbi Shimon Sefer Rabbanu is that possible? So Amar Rav Gavia Debei Kasi LeRavashi Hachar Amar Abaye Reish Rabbi Shimon is Sefer Rabbanan. You bet it's possible. That's exactly what's going on. That the Reish is going like Rabbi Shimon, the Sefer is going like the Rabbanan. This Braisa reflects a machlokas, and therefore it's not a stira, it's just two different opinions, whether a chatos shekipro ba'aleha is on the list of chatos ha-mesos. If it's on the list of chatos ha-mesos, the monetary equivalent of it would be yoluch liyam ha-melech. If it's not on the list of chatos ha-mesos, so then the monetary equivalent of it should be lamizbeach, should be brought lamizbeach, period. Amar Rava. So this past machlokas that we just had, that we were just in the middle of discussing, was about when you violate Mila, what do you do with the money? But if you recall, yesterday we had a different machlokas as well. We had another machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan about whether the Efer Tapuach, whether the ashes that are left on top of the Mizbeach, are subject to Mi'ila after you do the Trumas Hadeshen. Remember, there were two types of taking out of ashes in the Beis HaMikdash. There's the Trumas Hadeshen, which is just a shovel full of ashes from the top of the Mizbeach, where you just bring it down the ramp and put it next to the Mizbeach. But then there was another taking out of ashes, where the pile of ashes just got so enormous on the top of the Mizbeach, where they needed to remove it and bring it out to the Beis HaDeshen. They had to bring it out of the Beis HaMikdash entirely. So the second taking out of the ashes, we learned yesterday, is Machlokas Rashi and the Rambam, whether they did that every day or they only did that when it got out of control. So that's the Machlokas Rishonim. But the Machlokas Amoraim that we learned yesterday, Machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, is what if you did the Trumas Hadeshen but you did not yet do the Hotza'as Hadeshen? You have not yet taken out the large pile of ashes. So is that pile of ashes subject to Mila? It's got all these parts of Karbanos. So can you, that are now ashes, so can you violate Mi'ila by being Nene from those ashes? That is the Machlokas we're now going to be discussing in the next line. Even though the Gemara doesn't state it explicitly, that's how the Rishonim say. So Amar Rava, Hakol Modim, everyone in that Machlokas, about whether there's Mi'ila violated by the ashes, all would agree, Shim Nene mi Basar Kache Kachim, Shenitma, that if a person gets Hana from Basar Kache Kachim that had become Tameh, Ume Emure Kache, so normally you get Hana from Basar Kache Kachim, that is a violation of Mi'ila. But over here we're talking about getting Hana from Basar Kache Kachim that can't be used, it can't be eaten. Normally Basar Kache Kachim can be eaten, it can be eaten by the Kohanim, but over here it became Tameh, so it can't be eaten by Kohanim. Or may emuri kachim kalim la achar shehelan, or you get enough from the emurim of kachim kalim after they were already brought up on the mizbeach, so de pater. Everyone's going to say in those situations you're definitely pater. It's not a violation of meila. So says Gemara Pshita, Maika Mafsid. Of course you're going to be pater. What do you once the kachim is tamei, it's not royal le kohanim, it's not royal le gavoa. You're not questing anybody anything, and by the emurim of kachim kalim. Also, once it's already brought them on the Mizbeach, so it's Nasas Mitzvasan. So why would there ever be a Havamina to say otherwise? Of course it's not going to be subject to Mi'ila anymore. So says Gemara, no, Ma'u Detema, Basar Kachi Kachim Shenitma, Islei Mitzvah Sreifa L'Kohanim. I might have thought that Basar Kachi Kachim that become Tameh, it's not Nasas Mitzvasa yet. The Kohanim still have something to do with it. They have a Mitzvah Sreifa, and a Murika, they have to burn it. A Murika Kachim Kalin, Ika Mitzvah Lahafuche Bitsinura. And the Emurim of Kachim Kalim, it's not fully Nasas Mitzvasan. Once you bring it up on the Mizbeach, you still have to turn it over with the fork to make it burn more quickly. You still have to stoke it a little bit, make it burn a little more quickly. So I might think that it's considered not yet fully Nasas Mitzvasan, and therefore still subject to Mi'ila. Kamash Malon Delo. That's why it comes to tell me that that's not the case. It's not going to be subject to Mi'ila. Now, Tosus writes, that which the Gemara says over here, that everyone agrees, in these situations of the Basar Kachi Kachim Shenitma and the Emuri Kachim Kalim that are held on al-Mizbeach, that it's no longer subject to Mi'ila, is not going on the Machlokas Rav and Levi, like we pointed out, because they only argue about what you do with money when you make a Mi'ila payment. They don't argue about Mi'ila itself. The Gemara rather is going on the Machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, where they argue whether Nena Me'efer Tapuach, where Rabbi Yochanan holds you do violate Mi'ila from the Efer Tapuach, because the Hotzah Sadashen is a real avoda that requires big day kuhuna, and therefore it's not yet nasas mitzvaso if you haven't yet done the otzos hadashen, and therefore there's room to say that the same would be true by anything that has any sort of avoda left to do with it. I mean, that's the havamin over here, that since by the otzos hadashen we're going to say it, not having yet done the otzos hadashen still keeps it in the parsha of Me'ila, even though the otzos hadashen is not really a major avoda, it doesn't have to be a major avoda, any avoda would keep it in the parsha of Me'ila, including Otzah Sadeshin. So there's room to think that maybe the mitzvah Sreifa of Basar Kachi Kachim Shenitma, or the requirement to be Mahapich B'tzinora of the Emurim Kachim Kalim that were held in Al-Gabi Mizbech, maybe that's considered a significant enough avoda that prior to doing those things, it's still going to be in the parsha of Me'ila. So that's why Rava has to come and teach us that there's no machlokas over here, that even Rabbi Yochanan Bimoda, that these are not significant enough avodas, that even though there's still some sort of mitzvah kala left to do with it, the burning of the kachi kachim shenitma, or the hafuche tzinora, the tzinora of the emuri kachim kalim, that's just a minor act, it's not a significant avoda, and therefore it's already out of the world of Me'ila. Now, Tosfos just asks, wait a second, hipuch b'tzinora is just considered a minor act, but turning it over with the fork is just considered a minor act? No, it's vada considered an avoda. The Gemara Maseches Shavuos and Daf Yud Zayin and Beis says that a zar that's mehapech b'tzinora is chayiv misa. If a non-kohen does it, he's chayiv misa. Non-kohen should not be chayiv misa if it's not a significant avoda. So how can you say, to nothing, don't worry, it's already out of the world of Me'ila because it's already nasa mitzvaso. The hapech b'tzinora is nothing important. What do you mean a zar does it, he's chayiv misa? How can you say it's not a big avoda? So it also says that Mikol Makom, it's not comparable to the din of Mo'el and Bedeshen, because the Hotzos Hadeshen, the difference between the Hotzos Hadeshen, which we consider something significant that hasn't been done yet, when you haven't yet done the Hotzos Hadeshen, versus Lahapach B'tzinora, is that a Hotzos Hadeshen is a Dover HaMuchrach. Hotzos Hadeshen is something you don't have a choice, it must be done. Otherwise, the pile just gets too great, just gets too big to the point that you're not going to be able to fit the Yatzeh Maracha on top of the Mizbeach. You need a space on the Mizbeach for other things, for the wood on the Mizbeach, and to do all the Karbonos on the Mizbeach. The pile of ashes gets too big, it's an untenable situation. You need to take away the pile of ashes. But Hipuch B'tzinora is not something that you have to do. You leave it in the fire, it will eventually get burnt. It speeds up the burning process when you're Mahapich B'tzinora. But it's not something that's a Dover HaMuchrach. It's not something that needs to be done. Mimela says Tosfos, it's not as important as the Hotzos Hadeshen. And that's in fact the Shita of Rashi and Maseches Tzmura and Daf Yudalev as well. The Gemara over there says that Evarmu Pedarim, that your Makriv Miboa Shemesh and their Mis'achel V'Holich Kol Alayla. So Rashi says Mis'achel V'Holich means Mis'achlin Me'elehem. They burn on their own, meaning you don't have to go turn it over with a fork and make it burn more quickly. It burns on its own. There's no requirement to do, there's no chiyuv lahapich b'tzinora. Now it's interesting, Rashi Maseches Zvachim on Daf Kuf Tesam and Aleph writes that psulim that are all on the Mizbeach, the possible parts of a carbon that go up on the Mizbeach, and where the din is shalo yerdu, the kohen has to be mahapich ben b'tzinora. So what's going on over here? I thought lahapich b'tzinora is an optional thing. It's not something that you're required to do. So the Makar Baruch writes that it's dafka by psulim, where you have to be mahapich b'tzinora, but that which is kosher, there's no chiv to be mahapich b'tzinora. Meaning, the psulim that were brought on the Mizbeach, Nebuch, we can't bring them down, but they really don't belong there. So we want to get them burned as quickly as possible, so then you have a chiv lahapich b'tzinora. That's Rashi Maseches Zvachim. But everywhere else, where the Rishonim say there's no chiv to be lahapich b'tzinora, some are regular karbanos that were just brought up on the Mizbeach, and it's they're just getting burnt. There's no psul, there's no tragedy that they're up on the Mizbeach. There was nothing wrong with them being on the Mizbeach. So then there's no requirement lahapich b'tzinora. They can get burnt on their own at their own pace. One more point over here. Tosfos asks that the Mishnah previously, the Mishnah previously that we had on Daf Tes, the Mishnah had said that an ola, there's mi'ila until it's yotze lebeis hadashen. So by basar kachi kachim that became tameh, shouldn't the mi'ila be until it's yotze mi'beis hadashen? Why is it that just because it became tameh, it's automatically not subject to mi'ila at all anymore? Right? We're saying everyone agrees that basar kachi kachim that becomes tameh is no longer subject to mi'ila. Me'ila. Why should this be any different than a Karban Ola, which is subject to Me'ila until it's Yotzei LeBeis HaDeshen? So Tosfos says, no, Karban Ola is different, because the Karban Ola is Kula Kalil, and it's never meant to be eaten by people. Therefore, its mitzvah isn't done until it's Yotzei LeBeis HaDeshen. Kachi Kachim that a Nechal Adam, if it were done B'tahara, if everything was Tahara, would be eaten by people. So with the Zrika, it's already considered Nasus Mitzvah. So that's the difference between Kachi Kachim and the standard case of Ola. But Tosfos asks weiter. Over here, the Gemara says there's no Me'ila on a Murei Kachim Kalim after it goes up on the Mizbeach, whereas in the Mishnah we learned that a Chatas and Asham, you're Molim Be'emurehem until they go out Lebes HaSreifa. So why by Kachim Kalim should there be no Me'ila as soon as it goes up on the Mizbeach, yet by Chatas and Asham, by Kachi Kachim, the Emurim, the same parts, are going to be subject to Me'ila all the way until they go out Lebes HaSreifa? So Tosfos says maybe you have to say that there's a chiluk between a murim kachim kalim and a murim of kachik kachim, because both in terms of the way the psukim deal with it, and in terms of svara, in terms of the way the psukim deal with it, the ms meikra din, we would say that kachik kachim is nas mitzvah as soon as you bring it on the mizbeach also. But what do? The Torah says by the karban ola vahotzi adeshen. So since the Torah tells us dafka by the karban ola vahotzi adeshen, we can learn that until you have hotzas adeshen, until you bring out the ashes, it's not considered nas mitzvah. So from there we learn out to all other kachik kachim as well that you're moel beimureim until it's yotzei lebeis hadeshen. But kachim kalim we don't learn out from karbonola, and therefore there's no pasuk that tells us by kachim kalim that it should still be subject to meila until it's yotzei lebeis hadeshen. Mimele we go back to what we would have assumed originally. What would we assume? That as soon as you bring it up in the mizbeach, it's nas mitzvah. So that's the din taka by kachim kalim, because you can't learn kachim kalim out from karbonola. That's the chiluk between them when it comes to psukim. There's also a chiluk in svara. By kachik kachim, there's mi'ila from the very beginning, so you could say that the mi'ila is not going to leave from the kachim or from the emurim until you finish kol mitzvasa, until you finish everything that you have to do with it. But by kachim kalim, there was no mi'ila mitchila. When it comes to kachik kachim, as soon as you designate it as a karban, so right away there's mi'ila on the whole thing. By kachim kalim, there's no mi'ila. The isra mi'ila is only chal at the zrika sadam. So the svara would therefore tell you that as soon as you are mekayim the mitzvah Allah, so it's nas mitzvasa, and the mi'ila is going to be paka. But by kachik kachim, where the mi'ila was there the whole time, the mi'ila doesn't go away until the yotzei lebeis hadeshen. The Mishnah Rabbi Aaron explains in Kachim, in the Sugis Hashas Simon Ches Osches, he explains this svara that by Kachim Kalim the whole Ikr Me'ila comes from the din haktara that you have once you do the zrika. You do the zrika, now you have a chiyuv haktara. That chiyuv haktara is what makes the Yisra Me'ila. Me'ila, once you bring it up on the Mizbeach and you do the chiyuv haktara, Me'ila goes away. You're not going to have to wait till the yotzei lebeis hadeshen. But by the original hektish of the animal doesn't make it kachay Hashem that's subject to meila. So as soon as you bring it up, as soon as you do the din haktara, the meila goes away. But when it comes to kachay kachim, since the original hektish of the animal is what made it kachay Hashem, so the meila doesn't go away until the entire everything that needs to be done with that animal that has kedusha is entirely done, is completely covered. That is the chilek misvara that Tosfos suggests. Okay, weiter in the Gemara now. So says the Gemara, Omar Rava, four lines before the Mishnah, Hada Amrit Kvar Karva Chatas Yelchu Liyam HaMelech, that which we said in the Braisa, that if you already brought your Karban Chatas and you have this money that you have to pay back for a violation of Me'ila, what do you do with the money? Throw it into the Yam HaMelech. So now we're going back to that discussion, to the Machlokas of what you do with the money in the Braisa that supported Rav, that said you throw it into the Yam HaMelech. Hani Mili Disyadale Kame Kapara. That's only if you knew about it before the kapara. Avliachar kapara yiplu l'nedava. But if you only found out about it after the kapara, you only designated this money for mi'ila after you already got your kapara, then it's not going to be yelich liyam ha'melech, rather it's going to be yiplu l'nedava. My taima, ein mafrishin mitchilo li'ibud. Because even though it's true, chatas shemesu ba'aleha, a chatas shekipru ba'aleha, when you have a carbon chatas that the owner already got a kapara with a different animal, the halacha is going to be mesa, that it should be left to die, and the equivalent of that is the yoluch liyamamelech. That's only if the time you were makdish the animal, you had not yet gotten your kapara. But if you already got your kapara by the time you're makdish this animal as karmel chatas, well then it can't be designated as karmel chatas. You have no chiyuv of a karmel chatas, so you're not going to say that it has a din of a chatas shekipra ba'alel. Same is true with the money. When you designate the money for chatas prior to getting your kapara with the karban chatas, good. So now it has a certain sense of kedusha, and once you get your kapara, this money is going to have to go the yam hamelech, because the money already at its initial kedusha. At least it made sense. But if you designate the money only after you already got your kapara, well, then what were you doing? You already got your kapara. There's no kedusha. The kedusha of the chatas cannot be chal on that money. It would not have a din of a chatas shekipra bale. Rather, it would be yipul and adava. Can go for other karbanos. That's pshat in this gemara. Okay, so now new mishnah. Going on to the different parts of Kav Mincha, other karbanos, other menachos rather, what's the halacha in terms of the process by which it becomes subject to Me'ila, when it becomes subject to the psulim of Pigel, Noser, Tameh, right, continuing along the lines of all the Mishnayos we've had until this point. Hakometz, the kamitza that you take, the three fingers full of the Kav Mincha, Valavona, the frankincense of the Kav Mincha, Vaktores, and the Ktores that they burn in the Beis HaMikdash, Minchas Kohanim, and any mincha brought by a kohen, or minchas kohen mashiach, or the daily karban mincha brought by the kohen gadol, or minchas nesachim, any mincha that comes along as part of a karban, as the nesachim along with an animal karban, all these things are molin behem misha huktashu. They become subject to me'ila as soon as you are maktish them, as soon as you designate them as being kadosh. Kitchen bekli hukshali pasel betvul yom ubemchusu kipurim ubelina. As soon as you makadish them bekli, you put them into a kli shares. Now they become ready to become pasel by tvul yom, touching it by mchusu kipurim, touching it, or by being left over overnight. V'chayavin alav mishum noser mishum tameh, and right away it's chayav mishum noser mishum tameh. This is in stark contrast to previous Mishnayos, where you had to do a zrika, mitzita, you had to do something, a mitzvah, you had to do something in order for it to be subject to noser and tameh. Over here, no. Once it's in the kli, all of these things happen. Not only does it become subject to tvil yom, chus, purim, and lina, it's also chayv, mishum noser, mishum tameh. But u pigul einba, there is no din of pigul. Why is there no din of pigul? So the Mishnah gives a rule. Zaklal. Kol sheyesh lo matirin, anything that you have an avoda that's matirit, a zrika that's matir the basar, whether it's matir the basar for achila, or it's matirit for burning on the mizbeach, whatever it is, when you have an avoda that serves as a matir, ein chayavin alav mishum pigul v'nosar v'tameh at sheyakrivu matirin. So when does the chiyuv of pigul v'nosar v'tameh kick in? When you're makriv, when you do the matir, when you do the zrika, when you do that which is matir, the further the avodas, the kol shein lo matirin, but anything that has no avoda that serves as a matir, kiven shekidish bekli chayav lo mishum noser tamei pigul ein ba. Then the rule is going to be that just putting it in the kli is enough to make it chayav noser tamei. And what about pigul? There is no din of pigul for anything like that, for something that does not have a matir. Now the Mishnah in Maseches Zvachim. The Mishnah Maseches Zvachim on Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis brings a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon if you're chayiv mishum tumah on Levona and Ketores. Chacham say you're chayiv mishum tumah, and Rabbi Shimon holds you potter because they're not something that's royal achila anyway. So the Gemara has three opinions in Amoraim how to understand that machlokas about whether you're chayiv mishum tumah on Levona and Ketores. One opinion is that they argue bein le'inyan tumas basar, bein le'inyan tumas haguf. The second opinion is that they argue only about Tumas Aguf, but by Tumas Basar, everyone would agree you get Malkus, that you are Chayiv. The third opinion is that they argue about Tumas Basar, but by Tumas Aguf, everyone would agree that you're not Chayiv, that there's no Malkus. So the Gemara says, but there's a Beferish Ariboy Veha Basar, to include Eitzim Levona Latuma. So the Gemara says, no, that Riboy is only a Psul Ba'alma, but it's not really only Midrabanan. The Pasuk is Nasmachta Bi'alma, and really there is no Psul Midah Oraisa of Tumas. tuma. So Frakta Tosas Yantiv, how is it even possible to say that you're not chayiv malchus on levonu k'tares? It's mefurish over here in the Mishnah that there's a chayiv tuma on levonu k'tares. Where's the mefurish in the Mishnah? What do we say? The Mishnah started talking about a komas levonu k'tares, and we said when you put it in the kli, now you're chayiv lav mishum nosar umishum tamei. So, chayiv mishum tamei. There is a chayiv, beferish in the Mishnah, mishum tamei. How can you say, it's a chumra, it's a derabanan, it's a this, a pasuk in a smachla, beferish that you chayiv mishum tamei, asks the Tos Yantiv. So Tos Yantiv is mitarates that the whole issue over there is legabe malchus. Everyone would agree that you chayiv kares on levonu k'tares, on tuma, mishum levonu k'tares. Question is, can you technically get malchus or not? That's the machlokas tanaim, whether the malchus would be dara or not. Then the Mishnah over here concluded with a rule. The rule we conclude with is that anything that has a matir, so when you do that matir, that's when the Yisurim of Pikul Nosar V'Tamei kick in. Anything that doesn't have a matir, so just putting it in the Kli creates the Yisur of Nosar V'Tamei, but Pigul Ein Ba, there's no Yisur of Pigul. Now the Mishnah in Zvachim on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph says that anything Kol Sheyesh Lo Matirin Bein La Adam Bein L'Mizbeach Chayav love mishum pigul. Whenever there's a matir, it doesn't have to be a matir for a person to be able to eat it. It could be matir at l'mizbeach, something that's matir, the burning of the rest of the carbon on the mizbeach. But anything that has a matir, you're chayav mishum pigul. Sounds like that the chayav mishum pigul is when it's either a matir la adam or a matir l'mizbeach. That's how the Mishnah says in Masechta Zvachim, and that's how the Keren Ora and the Rashash over there are medayik as well, that it's dafka if it's matir for one of those two things, for adam or for Mizbeach. And that's how they explain why did Rashi writes over there within the sheet of Rameir that a shemen shel mitzora sheshiyar of ne'echalim, that the leftover shemen is can be eaten. So we understand, because Rashi is coming to explain why it's mefaglimbo, why there would be a din of pigo in the shemen shel mitzora. So Rashi says, because sheyar of ne'echalim, the leftover shemen that you don't use to put on his ear and whatever else, can be eaten. Meaning, not for the fact that the leftovers were to get eaten, there would be no din of pigul. Why not? Because in order for something to be pigul, you need it to be something that's matir ba'achila, either ba'achilas adam or ba'achilas mizbeach. Good, so that's the pashup shat in Masechta Zvachim, and that's how the Achronim are medayik. Mikdash David, therefore, has a kasha. He points out that the Gemara in Zvachim, Gemara Menacha, says that you're mefaglim with the luk shemesh l'mitzora because the dam ha'asham is matiro l'bahonos. That the luk shemesh l'mitzora, the reason it's subject to pigul is because the dam ha'asham is matir the shemen to be used l'bahonos. Is matir the shemen to be put on the ear and on the thumb and on the big toe, right? It's matir the shemen to be put on the bahonos, yad v'regel, etc. Sounds like it. What's the matir? It's not l'achilas adam. It's not l'mizbeach. It's l'bahonos. It's a matir to do something else. It's a matir for some other avoda. So it sounds like just being matir anything is good enough. Even a matir l'matan bahonos. Not like the Mishnah in Zvachim that you need a matir dafka for the for achila. So that's why Rashi dafka goes out of his way over there to say that no, it's matir the shiyarei hashemen for the for achila. The Shiari Hashem is going to be Nechal, so it does serve as a bit of a matir, but it certainly doesn't sound that way from the Pashup Shad and the reading of the Gemara in Zvachim and Daf Mem Dalet and in Menachos and Daf Tes Vav Amid Beis. Okay, let's see now the Gemara on Yud Amid Beis. It says the Gemara, Minani Mili, how do I know that this is true? How do I know that what is true? So the Rashi, the Mefarish says on the top, Dinosur V'tamei Chayav and Alein Bein B'davar Sheish L'Matirin Bein B'davar Sheish L'Matirin, that when it comes to Pigel, we know that Pigel only kicks in when there's a matir. Here, but Nosar and Tamei, apparently you don't need a Matir. Nosar and Tamei, whether it's something that's Yesh L'Matirin or Ein L'Matirin, it's subject to Nosar and Tamei. Where do we see that anywhere? The Tanur Rabban, because we have a Brayse as follows. Yachal Ein Chayavin Mishum Tuma El B'davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. I might think you're not Chayav Mishum Tuma. For Tuma, you should not be chayiv unless it's something that has a matir to dinu. And the truth is, there's a logical explanation to have suggested that, to say that you need a matir even to be chayiv mishum Tuma. What's the logical explanation? As follows. Uma pigul, shehu biyidia achas. When it comes to pigul, where only a single a period of forgetfulness, a single moment where you forget what you're doing. The karbanu kavua, and the karban is not an olav yored; it's a set karban that you chayiv. V'lo hutar michlalo, and there's no exceptions to the rule. Meaning, pigel is not. It's not like you can get out of pigel if the whole tzibur did pigel; that it's not a problem. No, pigel is always a problem, no matter one person does it, 10 people do it, the whole tzibur does it. There are no exceptions to pigel. And yet, still, ein chayavin el al davar sheyesh lamatirin. Still, pigel is only going to be chal when it's a davar sheyesh lamatirin, when you do something, when there's a matir to make it happen. So that's only such things that have a matir are subject to pigel. So we see, though, even though the rules of pigel are so broadly applied, yet only on a davar sheyesh lamatirin, so Tuma, which is much more limited in its application, should for sure be limited in the davar sheyesh lamatirin. Well, how is Tuma more limited? How is the psul of Tuma more limited in its application? Well, first of all, she b'shtei yedios. In order for someone to be chayv mishum Tuma, it has to be shtei yedios. He has to forget twice. He has to not realize at first. Realize at first and basof. He has to realize that he was tameh beforehand, forget that he's tameh and eat from the kachim or whatever, and then realize it again later. So you need shtei yedios in order for the process to take place. The karbano olav yared plus tuma, no matter rich poor, will always have a karban for you to bring when you violate a tuma. V'hutra michlala, and tuma, the psul of tuma is not going to apply in all cases, because tuma is hutra b'tzibur. So tuma is less broadly applied. The psul of tuma is much more limited in scope. Therefore, in a din shlo yechayev el davar sheyesh lamatirin. So I would think for sure tuma should be limited to only davar sheyesh lamatirin, to when there's a matir. So this is a kasha. What does our Mishnah say? That when it comes to pigel, pigel is only shayach when there's a matir, but tuma shayach even when there's not a matir. No, I would think if it's a kal v'chomer. If pigel, which is so broadly applied, yet we still limit it only to cases where there's a matir, tuma, which is much less broadly applied, we should of course limit it to only cases that there's a matir. Tamalomer, that's why the pasuk says, emor aleim ledorasechem, kol ish asher yukrav mikol zarachem v'gomer. B'kol ha-kotch ma-kotch medaber. That when it talks about tuma, special ribu in the pasuk to tell me that it includes all kachim. So yachlu yu chayavan alei miyad. I might think you should be chayavan it right away. Tamalomer, asher yukrav. That's why the pasuk says, asher yukrav. Amr Blazer, v'chiyesh nogea shehu chayiv. So Rabbi Lezer says, wait a second. Is there any situation where you touch tuma that you're going to be chayiv? Okay, so what's this talking about? Kol davar sheyesh lo matirin, eino chayiv ad sheyikrevu matirin. V'kol davar shein lo matirin, ein chayiv ad sheyikdash b'kli. Meaning, why does it seem to imply that even by tuma there's a din of a matir? If we just proved that by a din of tuma there's no din of matir? No, there is a din of matir. When you have something that has a matir, so then the din of tuma only kicks in when you're makar of the matir, when you do the matir. But when you have a carbon that doesn't have a matir, so there is a din of tuma, it's just you don't have to wait for the matir. The din of tuma will come when it's kadosh b'kli, like we saw in our Mishnah. That's the difference. Now, the Gemara had said this kal v'chomer, that by pigel is very the application of pigel is very limited, and yet we still see that it only applies by the rishish lamatirin. So tuma, which has a much broader application, of course should apply. If by pigel, which is bidya achas karbanu kavua and not hutu miklalo, still we limit it only to davar sheyesh lamatirin, tuma, which is much more limited, rather, of course we should limit it only to davar sheyesh lamatirin, right? The psul of tuma, which is much more limited, of course we should limit to davar sheyesh lamatirin. That was the Gemara's kal v'chomer. Now there is a comment that Rabbi Kiva Eger has in a tshuva that seems to go to fly in the face of this Gemara. Rabbi Kiva Eger in a tshuva in Chelek Aleph Siman Ches, right? That when the Gemara Maseches Krisus and Yutas Siman Aleph is Mimait from Asher Chata Ba Prat L'Misasek to tell us that a Misasek is Potter from a Karban Chatas, someone who doesn't have Veira B'Misasek, doesn't bring a Karban Chatas, Says Rabbi Kivega, does not mean to say that a misasik is not considered a maisa avera at all. Misasik means it's less than a shogeg. You do something completely mindlessly. You don't even realize what you are doing. So says Rabbi Kivega, the reason a misasik doesn't bring a karban is not because a misasik is not a maisa avera at all, that we don't even view it as a maisa avera. No, it's considered like an avera b'shogeg, but your pater, there's a gzeres hakasav that you're pater from a karban because it's a little lower than a shogeg. It's even less kavana than a shogeg. It's even less mindful than a shogeg. So gzeres hakasav that you're pater from a karban. So therefore, says Rabbi Kivei Eger a chiddush, the pater misasik is only by a chatas kavua where the Torah actually has the miut, where you actually have such gzeres hakasav. But a karban olav yorei doesn't say anything about a pater misasik. And therefore, if a person is misasik in an avera that for which you'd be chayiv a karban olav yorei, you'd still be chayiv even on a misasik. So basically, Rabbi Kivei Eger says, can you be chayiv a karban chatas on misasik? Yes, if it's a kind of chatas that's olav yorei, because the whole pater of misasik is only said by chatas kavua. If it were a chiddush in the Torah that misasik is just not a maisa avera at all, so then you never be chayiv a chatas on a misasik. It's not a maisa avera. You don't need a kapara. You didn't do anything. But since Rabbi Kivayger argues that misasik is a maisa avera, it's just that there's a gzeres hakasav, that there's a ptur, well, where's that gzeres hakasav? It's only by chatas kavua. It's not by olav yored. And therefore, by olav yored, you'd still be chayiv. So says the Shailos Chuvas Amudei Ar, that our Gemara seems to be directly against Rabbi Kivayger. Why? Because according to Rabbi Kivei Eger, we should have a big pircha on our kal v'chomer over here, because we could just be docha the kal v'chomer as follows: tumah is ba'olav yorev, and therefore doesn't have a p'tur misasek, and as opposed to pigel, which is bechatas kavua, does have a p'tur misasek. Meaning, what were we trying to say? That the Gemara tried to make a kal v'chomer that if pigel, which is so broadly applied, is limited to only something that has a matir, so tumah, which is so limited in its application to begin with, of course should be limited to something that only has a matir. Well, here's a giant pircha on that, because when it comes to tumah, where there's no olav yorei, it's chatas kavua, it's not so broadly applied. We don't apply it to misasek, so that's a more limited application. So you're going to say by tumah, tumah is more broadly applied, because tumah could even be b'misasek, it could even be chayiv b'misasek, since tumah is a chayiv karban olav yorei. So this, our Gemara seems to be a major kasha on Rabbi Kivayger. So the Amudei Ar is metaretz that by the Isra v'achilus pigel and the Isra v'achilus kachem b'tumah, it's not shaykh the p'tur of misasek. It says no, misasek wouldn't apply to either of the cases. Tumah, yeah, but achilas tumah, achilas pigel, no, then there's no p'tur of misasek. Why not? Because I'm a sasik b'chalav v'arayos chayavim shekei nene. We have a concept in Shas that misasik doesn't apply when you're getting hana'a. Misasik means that it's completely mindless and therefore it's ki'ilu, that the maisa doesn't even connect to you at all. Well, it's hard to say that when you're enjoying it. It's hard to say that it's completely mindless and it doesn't connect to you in any meaningful way when you're actually getting hana'a from it, when you're enjoying it. So that's why Rabbi Kivayger doesn't see a pircha in our kal v'chomer in our Gemara, because our Gemara is talking about cases of eating. And since we're talking about cases of eating, so it's shekei nene, so it's pashut that there will be no issue whatsoever of misasek. Okay, that's the end of the second paragraph of Halachat Sof. Let's see at least the beginning of the Mishnah, see if we can get through the Mishnah, first Mishnah in the third paragraph. The Mishnah is going to go through the five chatos hamesos. Five cases we have a korban chatos that's supposed to be left to die. That's what's known as the chatos hamesos. So vlad chatos, the offspring of an animal that's designated as a chatos, utmuras chatos, if you exchange a korban chatos for something else, with tamura. So we know that the original animal stays kadosh, that's the whole mesechus tamura, but the new animal also has kedusha. The chatos shemesu baleh, or a chatos whose owner dies, normally when an owner of a carbon dies, the yorshim will bring the carbon. But a chatos, the yorshim aren't chay of a carbon chatos, and the guy got his kapara from dying. So you have nothing to do with it. All these cases, yamusu, the animal should be left to die. V'sheibra shnasa, v'sha'avda, v'nimtseis balas mum. Let's say the animal just aged out. It's supposed to be within the first year of life that you bring it. Now it got too old. It's beyond that age. Or it was lost, and now when you find it, it's a balmum. imish shekipru abaylim. So if you find it after the baylim already got kapara with another animal, tamus. So then it also should be left to die. Ve'ina osa tamura, but it cannot make a tamura. V'lo nenin v'lo ma'alin. It's also to get hana from it, but it's not subject to mi'ila mida oraisa. But v'ma'ad shelo kipru abaylim. But if you find the original animal before the baylim got a kapara with another one, then tira achetistayev. Let the animal that you just found graze until it develops a mum, v'timacher, and sell it, v'yukubadama'acheres, v'osa tamura ma'alin ba, and buy another animal with the money, and it can make a tamura, it does have enough kedusha to make a tamura, and it is subject to mi'ila. Okay, there's a lot to say on that Mishnah, but Hashem will maybe pick up with that Mishnah again tomorrow.